You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom life. We're surrounded with the message that it's the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it is hard and full of lots of servitude, the idea that motherhood means a joyless life is something I'm passionate about putting a stop to. I'm on a mission to help you stop counting down the minutes till bedtime. At least most days. I want you to stop cleaning up after your kid's childhood and start being present for it. Start enjoying it. I believe in John 10:10 that we are called to abundant life, and I know mothers are not excluded from that promise. Join me in conversations about simplicity, minimalism, and lots of other good stuff that leads to a life of less for the sake of enjoying more in your motherhood. I'm Ali Casaza, and this is The Purpose Show. Hey, beautiful friend. So before we dive into this episode, I just want to let you know it is loaded with Brian and mine's top tips for traveling, especially with your kids. We've done all different types of travel. We're going to get all into that. And because it's so loaded with tips, I figured you might want the ability to kind of like print this out and put it somewhere. We created a PDF that's free that goes along with this episode that you can download. And basically, if you print it out, it's got all the tips on it so that you can like print it out and put it aside and pull it out when you're packing for your trip and when you're getting ready to go on a road trip or take a flight with your family. Whatever your travel looks like this summer. So I just wanted to make this as helpful as possible. And I knew that having a printout is going to be a lot easier than re-listening to an episode that you knew was helpful, but you can't really remember everything that I said. And this way you can listen and enjoy the episode and you don't have to feel the need to take notes. But you will want to listen to the episode still because I elaborate on these tips and kind of like just give you a lot of audible help with this. And then the PDF is really just broken down into like, don't forget, these are the tips that make your traveling a lot easier. So to get that free PDF, go to alicasaza.com/show-notes/107. alicasaza.com/show-notes/107. Hey, beautiful friend. Okay, so we are diving in today to a super, super practical episode. This isn't really the type of thing I normally discuss here on The Purpose Show, but this question has been asked over and over and over again. I am someone who travels often for work and for fun. And most of the time I have my family with me. So the six of us have taken quite a few trips, both flights and road trips, short and long, near and far over the years. And so Brian and I have learned a lot about traveling with our kids at different various ages and stages of life. And so I'm sharing my top tips for traveling with kids, from how to pack, to road tripping, flying, and just kind of like how we approach traveling with our kids and kind of like where our expectations are at and all of that good stuff. So let's dive in. So one of the questions that I get asked more than anything is how to pack when you're traveling with your kids. So for us, one super simple, straightforward answer, something that we have learned is just the best way to go, is we give each of our kids their own suitcase. Our oldest is 10. So at this phase of our kids' lives, they just have one of those like kid suitcases. You can get them at Target or wherever. None of them have like a full size suitcase, just like one of the little kids' suitcases. Bella's got this one that has little owls on it from Target. And, you know, the boys picked like Minecraft and Mario and Legos, and they have their own themed suitcase that they've chosen. So each kid gets their own suitcase. The reason that I like doing this versus packing like one big suitcase for all the kids' stuff is that it keeps things organized. It's cleaner. It's more organized. It's easier for each kid to just know where their stuff is and not go sifting through an entire suitcase full of all their sibling stuff and just like making it super disheveled and messy and impossible to find anything. It's much easier to just have them each have their own suitcase. They carry, you know, they drag it on the wheels through the airport by themselves. They're responsible for their suitcase. Obviously, we don't want them to lose it, so we're looking backwards and like watching them, but they drag their own suitcase. They've got their own stuff in their own suitcase. So if you've got super, super littles that cannot carry their own suitcase, you know, maybe that is a better season for having like one suitcase for your two really, really small kids, like if they're babies or toddlers, like really young toddlers. Otherwise, I think it's best to have each kid get their own suitcase. I have tried it all different ways, and I think that this is the best way. It's much simpler, and all the space is assigned to each kid. So it's way less messy. It might seem like it's overwhelming and it's like a lot of suitcases, but no, that is so much better than having one totally ripped apart, messy suitcase with everybody's stuff thrown in. As organized as it looks when you first begin to pack, it is not going to stay that way. It's just a fact of life. And I have found that my preference is by far to have a suitcase for each kid. So in terms of packing and kind of keeping it minimal for each kid, I think that packing is just kind of overwhelming sometimes. It is just different than the way that you live at home with where your kids have drawers and they have, you know, you're at home. It's just different when you're packing. You kind of do have to prepare for certain circumstances, you know, that you wouldn't normally have to think about day to day because you're at your home with all of your stuff. But when you're leaving, you only have what you packed. So I think that's where the urge to overpack comes in. And I definitely understand that and feel that and have to fight that every single time I pack. But the way that I choose to pack for my kids is I really just go by their age and where they're at the time of our trip. So, you know, when I was traveling with a baby or a really young toddler, like 2 and under, I obviously needed to pack more changes of clothes because at that age, you know, kids have diapers that leak, they have accidents on themselves, they spill way more often, they trip and fall and get really messy and muddy way more often. It's just a different season of life. So absolutely, you know, bring, you know, a few changes of clothes, you know, maybe that'll be one extra clothes outfit per day. Maybe it'll be, you know, 3 extra outfits for a week trip. And like, you know, you're guessing that some days you'll need the extra outfit and some days you won't. You can kind of gauge that by how your kid usually is at home and how long your trip is. But, and also if, are you going somewhere that you can do the laundry? Cause if you can use that to your packing advantage, it is always better to pack less. If there's any circumstance in your trip that will allow you to pack less stuff, take advantage of that. It is better to do a load of laundry on your vacation than to pack extra stuff and not have to do any laundry. Believe me, it is always better to pack lighter. In any way you can, pack lighter. Now that my kids are a little bit older, I just pack according to their age. I don't really need to bring everybody an extra pair of clothes for each day because my kids, you know, they just don't need that. They stay in their outfit for the whole day, pretty much. On the rare occasion that something happens, you know, we'll deal with that, you know, as needed. But pretty much I just bring one outfit per day. Maybe I'll bring like a spare or two if the trip is really long or I'm unsure about the weather or unsure about the dress code for a certain event we're going to. But pretty much it's one outfit per day. And I don't even bring like multiple pairs of pants, like one per day. It's like, you know, for a week trip, it's 2 pairs of jeans and you can just rewear them and deal with that. Because again, my goal is always to pack the least amount possible, especially for my kids. They are simple. They just need less. Let them be your reason to have less stuff to carry. Pack as little as possible. Use any single thing you can about your trip or where you're going to your advantage in terms of packing less stuff and bringing less with you in the car or on the plane. So I typically, if we are going somewhere for a week, which is usually the average length of our trip, I will pack 2 pairs of jeans for my kids. I will pack, you know, like maybe a shirt for each day if I'm not going to do laundry. If I am going to do laundry, then I'll just bring like 3 or 4 shirts and then 2 pairs of shoes and like socks for each day. That's, and of course, underwear for each day. That's about what I would bring. So it just depends. It just totally depends on the trip, depends on when we're going, depends on the type of stay we're having. It just depends on what I am going to and not be able to do while on that trip in terms of laundry and where we're, what are we doing? Is this a super active trip? Like what's going on? It all depends. So I hope that helps. It's hard not to be super specific, but I don't know what size your family is and I don't know how your kids are. I don't know how you are. I don't know where you're going. I don't know for how long and all of that stuff. So make it relative to all of those things. But that is what I do. And I hope that like, you know, having one suitcase per kid and all those specifications has just kind of helped like answer some of the things you've been wondering. Okay, let's talk about how to keep your kids entertained on road trips. I'm a pro at this. So this is where it serves you really well to limit toys and constant entertainment and like your kids being entitled to being entertained all the time and technology in your normal day-to-day at-home life. Your kids will be cool to just sit and chill on drives if they're not entitled to constantly being entertained and having constant fun. Also, when and if you do bring out the technology on a road trip, it'll be such a treat that it'll actually serve its purpose and help you have a more peaceful road trip rather than that technology coming out just being the norm and your kids are totally used to it when you really need it to help and it's not going to because your kids are going to be used to it and they're still going to complain and whine and bicker and be less, you know, all in on the technology that's in front of them. So having said that, when we take road trips, like I'm talking about really long road trips, we have road tripped cross country multiple times. We have road tripped from the middle of the country to Southern California and back multiple times. What we did was every kid got their own little bag of stuff for the trip. It's also stuff that can be used and played with while we are where we're going, like where we're road tripping to. It's not just for the drive. So examples of some things are like small little toys and activities like Hot Wheels, coloring books, and all-in-one art activities. So, you know, the kinds of things that like, it's like a pad of, you know, it's like a pad with like a special pen, like a magnetic pen, and the magnetic pen is attached to the pad and the kid can just like erase and draw on the same pad the entire time. It's not like consumable papers and colored pencils everywhere. Those sort of like all-in-one activities are really road trip friendly and they're really great for kids who don't get car sick. Also, there are car games that you can get like at Target or Walmart or wherever, and they are literally for road trips, but just make sure that you know that your kids don't get car sick. We have one kid who gets car sick very easily, so he doesn't get those kinds of things. He kind of just has to figure it out and look straight ahead and out the window and not get dizzy or woozy and not look down at a coloring book. But our other kids can totally handle it and it's awesome. Obviously, music and audiobooks or audio stories. If you want to take it a step further, you could get your kids each a set of headphones and, you know, an iPad or a tablet or something to use to kind of help break up sibling rivalry. It is only natural that they get sick of each other and bicker while you drive. It's just going to happen a little bit. It's okay. But there are things that you could do if you have the means or, you know, if you have two sets of headphones and only two kids and not four kids like I do, it's much easier to do that. So obviously things like that. Me and Brian sat down and we were just talking about this before when I was like outlining my main points I wanted to share with you for this episode. And we both agreed that one of our biggest tips is saving the good stuff till as late in the road trip as possible, the very end, if at all possible. So like if you have something like the Nintendo Switch or a game system, or you have a TV in your car, don't pull those things out. Don't turn them on until like as late in the game as humanly possible. If you bring it out too early, it just doesn't serve you. It's not worth it. Save the good stuff for as late as possible in the road trip. The other tip that we were both like, oh my gosh, remember that? That worked so well, is this thing that we found out worked really well. We called it the Post-it Note Goal Game. Super lame name. I don't even know what the name is, but basically, Brian and I had a small little bag of like goodies. Like we try to stay away from candy because we didn't want the kids to have a sugar rush. And I try not to give my kids candy anyway, but just little things like an organic, like cracker or cookie snack, like something that wasn't going to get them all hopped up, but that was like exciting to them, or like a little like tiny, like really cheap disposable toy that would keep them entertained for a few minutes, like whatever, something like that. Like, you know, those little sticky hands you can stick to the ceiling, like things like that. They're just silly and cheap and easy and like just for the road trip as prizes. So we would write a time on a Post-it note. And so we'd make it like, you know, an hour or two ahead of time, depending on our kids' ages. And we would put the Post-it note on, you know, the front of the radio or the rearview mirror, somewhere up front of the car where everybody could see it. And we would say, okay, if you guys can be super good, whoever is super, super good, until the clock says this time, we'll get a prize. And so if the post-it note's at 11:30, then when the clock on the car matched the time on that post-it note, whoever was super good would get a little prize out of the prize bag. So like a Hot Wheel or a sticky hand or a little organic like treat, something like that. And it worked so well. The kids did really, really well with like a goal in mind. Don't make it too far ahead. We found that 2 hours was like the max for our kids. So I would do like 1 hour or so. And just see how that goes. And you can do more or less as your kid's age needs it. So those are just little things that really helped us. Have a trash bag, like a dedicated trash bag in the car, and just try to clean as you go. It's kind of like cooking. Clean as you go and just dispose of wrappers and water bottles and things like that that come up while you're driving as often and as you go as you can. Every time we stop for gas, we would do a quick cleanup haul. We would make everybody get out and go to the bathroom. It was like a must do. So we didn't really ever have to like, oh my gosh, somebody has to go to the bathroom, stop, pull over. Because every time we got gas, we made everybody get out, go to the bathroom. It took an extra 5 minutes, but it was helpful in the end and it saved us time and frustration and it kept our car cleaned out. So because we were in there for so long, you know, we want to enjoy being in there as much as possible. Okay, friends, so I know this episode is all about traveling with your kids, but I wanted to share something with you. I just came back from a trip to the Scott Resort in Scottsdale, Arizona. This resort has been on my vision board for about 6 months, so it was a meaningful trip to me. It's just a beautiful place. It was one of those places that just exudes luxury, and basically no matter what you're doing there, you feel like a queen. I went there for 3 days just to get a break from the norm. You guys know I'm all about self-care that's realistic and works for you and your regular typical life. You know, I have all those tips about self-care that, you know, your kids are still with you and you're at your house and you're taking care of yourself in small little bite-sized ways. But I do think that there's something to be said for the occasional trip away, whether it's a day trip or an actual trip that's more than one day, or even just a trip to the coffee shop for an afternoon or something. But what I did was I realized that I needed just some space and space away from the noise and the normalcies of life at my house. I homeschool my kids at my house. I run my business from my house. And so sometimes it just gets a little convoluted there, and it helps me so much to just like once a year get away alone and just bring my laptop with me, go somewhere refreshing and just reflect about my business and where I'm at in my business, where I'm at in my personal life, and just get a little distance and quiet. And that is what I did at the Scott Resort. I chose to go there for this particular yearly getaway, and it was so restorative. I loved it so much. I reached out to them and decided to do a partnership. And I just want to tell you, like, if you're looking for a solo trip or a couple's trip with your spouse or a girl's getaway, like, this is the place to go. And they are so amazing. They've offered to give 10% off your stay if you use the code ThePurposeShow at checkout. So go to the link in my show notes. That's aliecasaza.com/show notes/107 and check it out. There's photos on there of the trip and just the resort. Their food, their restaurants are amazing. Some of you guys know I'm going through some major health stuff, and their chefs were just like super accommodating. They were really like sensitive to me and what I needed them to cook with, and I was able to just relax and breathe, take a break from all the food prep and parenting and homeschooling and working in my little office. And it was a really, really great time. So I want to encourage you moms, if you've been thinking that you really just need to get away for a second, that you just need a little bit of space and it's in your budget, I would encourage you to check out this resort. And Arizona is just so beautiful. It's such a quiet, inspirational place to go. I highly, highly encourage it. So go to the show notes, use the code ThePurposeShow at checkout for 10% off your stay at the Scott. They're so amazing, so accommodating, such a refreshing space. Okay. Let's talk about flying with babies and toddlers, because this is super hard. Flying with kids is easier. As they get older, it just gets easier. They're just more chill. They're easier to get entertained. They just kind of talk to each other. It's much easier. But flying with babies and toddlers is much more difficult. So I found that flying during bedtime when I had babies and really young toddlers, it's helpful because they will usually sleep. But obviously that's not guaranteed. But I know just because of doing Q&As that that is something I get asked all the time. Like, is that a thing? I'm thinking that that might work, but should I risk it and buy the flight that's like a red eye flight that is during my kid's bedtime and overnight? Or will it just be a nightmare? And you know, there really is no way to know. You have to just try it. But we found that the best flights we had were overnight flights. When we did red eye, we saved money and the kids were tired. We would give them like natural calming aids. Like when they got a little older, we could give them a little bit of melatonin. But when they're babies, you know, just calming aids that are natural, like lavender oil, or like if you have like, you know, toddlers, you could do Calmify, which you can get on Amazon, which is a natural, like just calming anti-anxiety aid for little kids. And they would just usually go to sleep. It had like one pretty rough flight. But you know, the baby's ears were popping and he was just freaking out. And sometimes it just is what it is. I don't think that your goal should be perfection. We'll talk about that more in a minute. I don't think your goal here is to have a perfect flight. I think it is just to learn and try things and see what works for you and to be prepared. Be prepared for the worst. If you're prepared for the worst, there really is no anxiety there. And then really with flights, the same tips as road tripping in terms of entertainment for toddlers and kids that are a little older. You know, try to limit it and so that when you actually pull it out and you're, you know, you give your toddler an iPad to watch, you know, Peppa Pig or whatever it is, it's exciting and it's new and it's not the norm. And, you know, if you don't live a life with less entertainment and tech normally at home and you do kind of overdo it all the time, I would at least consider taking a break for 30 days or so before your trip. Because most of the time these trips, we know we're going to be doing them, especially with toddlers, your kids, you know, it'll help your kids be content and busy while you travel, especially if your trip is cross country or super long. And then when you do finally bring out that technology help, it's exciting and they're more engaged with it and it's actually serving its purpose and helping you a little bit. So I would do that. I would do a 30-day break for Bella and then we would get on the plane and I'd be like, you know, giving Leland a bottle and letting Bella watch, you know, the tablet for a minute. And she was super engaged because she hadn't had any technology in so long. And it was really exciting. And it actually served its purpose and helped me because it wasn't the norm. It wasn't like boring and pointless, if that makes sense. This is pretty common knowledge, but I do just want to mention like breastfeeding or bottle feeding your baby at the time of takeoff and landing to help with their ears popping and that ear pain. Giving your toddlers and kids like gum. Emmett freaks out when his ears pop on a plane and it's been really embarrassing. Like we've had so many flights where he's just screaming and sometimes like they're just freaked out and it just is what it is and you just got to comfort them and be there for them. But one time he freaked out so bad that his ears were popping. He was crying so hard. He made himself throw up. Like it was so embarrassing. It was so loud. I felt so bad for Emma. It was just really hard. And so from that trip, we learned to give him like a big piece or even two big pieces of like bubble yum gum, which is terrible and loaded with sugar, but so be it when your kid has cried so hard from his ears popping that he's vomited. It's like a huge piece of gum and it makes them open up their mouths really big and wide with each chew and it really helped with his ears. So we do that every time we're taking off or landing now for Emmett specifically. Until he gets older, that's what we'll do. And then one tip just for traveling in general and like making sure you've got everybody, making sure everyone has their suitcase, making sure like everyone's taken care of is just divide and conquer your kids. Brian takes two, I take two, we split them up, we assign them ahead of time, and then we switch groups of kids on the flight home. So it's not like one person is stuck with the youngest and most difficult flyers on the way there and the way home. You know, we split it up, we take turns, we talk about it. You know, so maybe I'll take Bella and Emmett and he'll take Hudson and Leland. Maybe, you know, he'll take Leland and Bella. I'll take Hudson and Emmett. We split up the most difficult ones so that each person has, you know, a youngest or most difficult kid. And we take turns and we swap. So it's like he's responsible for those two. He's watching them. He's keeping them, you know, happy. He's making sure they're okay. They're safe. They've got their stuff. They're buckled in. You know, he's taking them to the bathroom if they have to go. And then I've got the other two doing all the same things. It just helps rather than bickering and like getting frustrated in your communication on a plane or on, you know, a road trip, whatever. Like we divide and conquer. It helps so much. Okay, so I wanted to give a few quick tips for like the kids' behavior when you are at the location that you've been traveling to. So it's one of those things where it's like, imagine you're traveling somewhere and you're going to like a family reunion, or you're going to a wedding or an event where you're like, these people haven't seen your family in a long time. And you know, that stress you feel that like, you know, your kids are going to have a really bad day and their behavior is going to be terrible. And they're going to choose today to have a massive meltdown or something. It causes just like a lot of stress and tension in you as the parent. And so I'm not above bribing. Like, I'll do it. But I have found that affirming behavior that was already good goes way further than bribing for future good behavior. So what I mean by that is, you know, example, you know, Hudson, you were so polite and sweet when grandpa was talking to you about football. I am so proud of you. Great job, buddy. It makes them want to do more of the thing you're praising them for. So like, notice your kids' good behavior as you get to your location and once you're there, and like affirm that, and they'll just kind of want to continue that. Little toddlers, not so much. It's just a really hard phase. And I think that kids need a lot of grace. They've been traveling. They're out of their normal, you know, environment. Things are very like abnormal. Kids thrive on routine and they usually don't have any when you're traveling. It's really hard. So just be gracious and expect people to give you grace too. Don't let anyone make you feel bad or guilty that your toddler is having a meltdown when you're across the country. You just finished traveling and they're around a bunch of people they don't know. Like, we can't expect our kids to be amazing and perfect. We need to give them grace. But I have found that just little things like that, like encouraging good behavior and like really being near to my kids, letting them know they're safe and loved, even though we're somewhere new and they're meeting, you know, seeing people that seem to really, really know them that they don't know, like that would freak anybody out. So I give them grace and I stay close to them and I'm there with them and I can listen to them. I'm focusing on what they need. But I also, you know, I do expect them to, you know, cooperate, especially as they get older, and just have good, you know, be good. You guys need to follow the rules. The rules still apply here. I just have a little extra grace when I know they're tired of traveling and there's strange people around and we're doing new things, and we got to give them grace for that. And I think one huge thing is just to remember that you're trying to have fun. Assuming that you're traveling for vacation or a family visit somewhere, this is supposed to be fun. So relax. Breathe. You can easily make this a terrible trip. You can easily make this like the worst idea you've ever had. And it is up to you. So just remember that you're the parent. Take a deep breath. Our kids need grace. You need grace. Relax. Breathe. Try to have fun. Try to remember why you're doing this and just roll with it. If you end up inside most of the family party, you know, with your toddler who's just really temperamental and really struggling to not be at home in her normal routine, that's okay. You're a mom and you're a great one. You're doing a good job. It's okay. You have to lower your expectations like a lot and then lower them even more. Things are probably not going to go as planned. You probably won't get to do all the things you wanted to do on your trip. You probably won't get to see all the things you wanted to see and talk to all the people you wanted to talk to. It probably won't look much like the idea in your head when you were planning this trip. You know, someone might get sick or throw a fit or lose their suitcase. It's okay. It's life. And life is what you make it. So remember that. And also remember that you're an example to your kids of how to handle life's curveballs and things not going your way. Remember that, because it's so huge. And I know that we're all on the same page that we want to raise good humans. We want to raise kids who handle things well, can roll with the punches, are good examples, and they won't be that if we're not that. So I think when all is said and done, remember, this is just a trip. Don't think about how much money you spent on the trip and how the kids are ruining it and their attitudes suck and you're super frustrated. Remember that it's just a trip. Remember to be a firm parent and expect a lot of your kids if they're older, but also to give them a lot of grace, because kids thrive on routine. You're out of your routine. And, you know, sometimes they just need a little bit of wiggle room. And when it all is said and done, you're their parent and that's your top priority and that's your job, even when you're traveling. So just remember, lower your expectations. It's not going to be perfect. The best trips that we've had are the ones where our expectations were pretty low and we were just like showing up the best way we could and trying to have fun and taking advantage of every spare second, but also like letting our kids take naps if it was nap time and they were tired and we just couldn't go try that cool new restaurant we read about on Yelp. You know, like sometimes it just doesn't happen that way, especially if you do have really little kids. So as summer comes and you guys have all these trips planned, I hope these trips. I hope these trip tips help you just take a deep breath, have a sigh of relief, change your perspective a little bit, get a little bit more realistic and a little bit more prepared all at once, and give you happy family travels. This was an episode of The Purpose Show. Did you know there's an exclusive community created solely for the sake of continuing discussion surrounding The Purpose Show episodes and to get you to actually take action and make positive changes on the things that you learn here? Go be a part of it. To join, go to facebook.com/groups/purposefulmamas. That's M-A-M-A-S. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're ready to up-level and really take action on the things I talk about on my show and get step-by-step help from me, head to alikasaza.com for free downloads. There's also courses there, classes, and ways that you can learn more about what the next step might look like for you and to focus on whatever it is that you really need help with in this season you're in right now. I'm always rooting for you, friend. See you next time.